Vulture, Vulture, got Daniel G and DL the Bit. Les Messieurs, Brendan McDavnia and Shot Eye Highland Radio. Vulture, welcome everyone to Highland Radio. This is the DL the Bit. Joe Dex is the top sports show in Ireland. Right, Joe? Maybe a bit biased. Joe, of course, was doing the Power Hour Plus there. He was keeping the tunes going. Thanks to Michaela for the news as ever. Folks, another packed show in store this evening. Shortly, we're going to hear from Paul Finlay, former Monaghan star and one of our heroes of 2012, Paul Durkin. They'll be on to chat all things Donegal, Monaghan and any other aspects of the GAA. We'll then have a catch-up with our hurling boss, Mickey McCann, after a side's narrow defeat to Derry in the Christie Ring. Of course, Derry favourites for the competition, and a brilliant performance from our lads after a very tough outing against Derry earlier in the season and with Derry in the league. We're then going to catch up with Shani Johnson, the Mercurial Shani Johnson of Cavan. I was up there with him yesterday watching Tyrone v versus his Cavan to get his take on it. And then I'm going to speak with Paddy Hunter. He's the commentator up in Oma. We're going to speak a wee bit more about the Ulster Championship with them. Now, I headed off up the road yesterday. Actually, Market Evolve dropped me a wee message. I come down. He got me a bit of clobber. Hey, we all know Evolve well. Looks after the Donegal lads as well, and always a great shop, great welcome in there. And I want to thank Mark for putting me into shape as I went up the road. And Paul Durkin's on with us. We've seen him step about in plenty of Evolve gear at the time. I'll tell you what a man to be modelling it. He's joined us now along with Paul Finlay. Are you there, lads?
Yes, nice to be. How's it going?
What's going,
Paul? All right, Brendan.
Paul,
yeah, we're all good.
Great to have you on, lads. Great to have you on, Dirk. What about that, Dirk? You are a wee bit of a model. Yeah, the Evolve stuff, is it still fitting you all right?
Well, I suppose you asked Paul there, some of the stuff I was wearing at college. That still fits me anyway, so I'm not doing too bad.
Hey, that's same respect to you. There's an odd pair of jeans you pull on there and you're like, no, this is going to cause me the lungs to stop working.
I'm still thinking.
You were always a slim Jim yourself, Paul. Anyway, you're not too bad.
Not too bad. just when you talk about college, Papa, it takes me back to that man there that has us on this evening doing a wee bit of breakdancing around Sligo Town. Hey, and he had a wee bit of funky music just kicking off the show there. So,
the boys, that night, how do you remember that? I'll tell you why I remember it. It nearly broke my back in that Leitrim bar. We were going a wee bit OTT on the madness. Now, there was absolutely no rules in that bar. I think McNiff himself was in there. What do you call it? The lad that gave him his in there used to run it.
Was it Connor? Was it
Connor? Connor, of course, yeah, Connor. Yeah. A good lad. Hey, and I was looking around and he was just enjoying the crack. And I was like, this is as mad as it gets. I don't know if you see that anymore, boys. But as you said to me before, Dirks, thank God the old camera phones. You only had Nokia's then. But anyway, well. We can relive the tales another time. Lads, we're going to get stuck into the football here. Paul, Monaghan, Derry, the top teams in Ulster, you know, we've seen a bit of an imbalance there. Now, in fairness, Antrim put it up to Armagh in the first half, but listen, the inevitable happened. We've seen, Tyrone being much too good for Cavan yesterday. You know, after seeing Donegal against Derry and all the talk that there is, and of course Monaghan going down, coming straight up again, what are you expecting now from Donegal heading into this game?
I think there's still a few question marks in Monaghan just about where Monaghan are really at. When it comes to the league campaign, yes, Monaghan are, we're all very happy about how the league went. I think there was some brilliant displays throughout the campaign, and it ended in a great victory in Croke Park against the Roscommon side. The problem is that, you know, it was a proper Division 2. We didn't see any, you know, Division 1 per se teams down there like you would have in the last few years, the like of Armagh, the like of Dublin. Donegal, Derry have all had stages there in Division 2, but it was a proper Division 2 this year where none of the teams you could say were of the class, you know, that Monaghan's going to be bumping into now at the weekend. And look, it's so the question is, where are we at with regards to a top side? And we know that Donegal, not to bum these up, lads, but, you know, there's a serious squad that Jim has developed there now, and this is into a second season. And, you know, it's just hard to know where Monaghan's at. But, you know, a lot of green shoots, a lot of positivity, a lot of pace in their team. And, yes, well, we're not sure. We're certainly hoping to get a big performance and take it to Donegal. And, you know, who knows? It's in Clonus. Should be a great atmosphere. And, you know, a big crowd there if the weather holds up. You know, it should be a great spectacle, and all we could, from a Monaghan perspective, you'd just be hoping that the lads can give it their best shot and, you know, be in a game and see where that takes them.
Yeah, sure, be in a game, Dirks. I'll tell you what, you think back from your time, Big Paul, around the battles with Monaghan. You know, obviously 14, Donegal won an Ulster Monaghan, but 13 and 15 both went the way of the Monaghan men. Paul, Durkin, do you think that, you know, Monaghan in many ways, you know, go down, come straight up as champions? Are they coming under the radar a small bit against Donegal? Because certainly what I've seen, particularly in that second half, you know, 1v1 tackling, their shape at the back, and then their energy breaking forward, you know, they look really on it as a team.
Yeah, I suppose the battle that we had with them going back into the noughties, you know, and Donegal have always struggled with Monaghan, and a lot of that has to do with the aggression and the pace that they show, and that's probably the big thing that jumped out at me from watching the games through the league, was that pace and aggression seemed to be around the middle again. And, you know, I think they've come back from probably the last couple of years, you didn't see it, and some of the lads attacking from the back again, you know, are given the freedom to go to get up the pitch. And I think, and the other side of it then is, when you are going at a pace and aggression that they are, they're getting a lot of frees, and you can see how Rory, he's tagging on a lot of long frees, and you know that 2 point. But the big thing that Donegal are going to have to cope with is how they manage the arc and manage to not foul, because we all know what Rory can do, and it's you're giving them a 2 pointer straight away. So if Donegal are engaging outside the arc, they're going to have to be very disciplined, and you know they might be better off fouling inside it, so it'll definitely be interesting. But yeah, a lot of battles with Monaghan, especially in Clonus. That's obviously their home, and it'll be nothing easy out of that.
Yeah, listen, Paul Finlay, this takes up what Dirks was saying there, just around the danger of begging and what he brings to it. But of course, you know, Vinnie Corey leaves. Last year, Monaghan went down. There was a real sense, Conor McManus retired. There's a real sense there, Paul, of, God, is it going to be a tough few years for Monaghan? You know, Gabriel Bannigan's input this year and where Monaghan seemed to have went very quickly has been quite amazing. Of course, his nephew has been to the fore of that, you know, O'Hanlon, you know, the former Conor McCarthy, he's had 218 in the league. But, you know, obviously Byrne getting man of the match, you know, him, O'Toole and Wiley at the back line. And as you mentioned then, you know, likes of Jack McCarron coming on the bench and that. So there seems to be a great balance with this Monaghan team. And in many ways, they're supposed to be relishing this game of Donegal coming down the tracks, particularly going in as underdogs.
Yeah, no, it's definitely all positive in Monaghan. I think Gabriel Bannigan deserves great credit for, you know, just turning the squad around from what you say, Brendan, everybody expecting almost, and even people within Monaghan, expecting Monaghan to maybe, you know, to remain in Division 2 at best for a couple of seasons, you know, to start trying to build again. So to find themselves back up in Division 1 straight away, it has to, you know, the credit has to go to Gabriel Bannigan and his whole team of men that he's pulled together. I'm sure there's a few women in there too, so kudos to them. But it's purely, you know, just the organisation, probably like Banty, like any good management team, just getting good people around them. And there's been serious chat coming out of the influence of Andy Moran. Myself and Papa would know Andy from our days in Sligo. And look, yeah, somebody that got the, you know, he's such a brilliant player, got the best out of himself on the pitch. And he seems to be, you know, a really top coach as well. And he goes around with that really larger-than-life sort of perspective. And he seems to have brought that into the Monaghan dressing room. And they're all buzzing. They're all listening to him. And, you know, he's certainly getting a bounce. You know, so you could be getting a bounce in the first term as well. You see teams really, you know, tuned in and wanting to impress, etc. So it's going, the league campaign has gone well. So, but as I go back to lads, you're going into a different competition now. You know, there's lots for Monaghan to be positive about. Rory Began is absolutely huge to Monaghan's success to date, lads. We know what he's been over the last number of years, and his influence has probably grown, if anything. And I think it's a massive piece of the game that we look forward to on Sunday is the battle of the keepers. Like, you know, you guys have Sean Patton, who is outstanding in his own right. And at kick-out time, you know, he's really picking out his guys really, really well. And then Rory, we know how strong he is around kick-out. So it's a massive part of the game and how the rules have evolved and the game has developed. You know, retaining your own kick-out and then doing well off the opposition kick-out. So that could be a key part to how the game goes at the weekend and who's doing best in that area. But look, all the guys you mentioned, Brendan, Conor McCarthy having a great season. Stephen O'Hanlon is just a live wire. I'm sure Donegal will be keeping a keen eye on him, and Jim will have something planned up his sleeve to try and, you know, damper his involvement in the game. But, you know, there is quality all over the field. You mentioned Michal Banigan, Ryan McInnesby's back in good form. It just depends on how the last couple of weeks' training has gone. You know, I'm not hearing anything regards the injury lists. Like, you know, and I feel like maybe Donegal's squad and the depth of their squad maybe is a little bit stronger than Monaghan. So if Monaghan are carrying any injuries to key players going into the game, it could be detrimental. But, you know, we'll know more as we get closer to the weekend. We'll hear a team announced, and we look forward to what should be a great battle.
Yeah, should be a good battle. Dirk's no better man to ask about the kickouts then. Dirk, yesterday O'Rourke had such a struggle with Cavan on the kickout. It didn't look to me, and maybe if it did you see the game, Dirk? I don't know if you did or not, but the Cavan struggle, it didn't seem to be any real movement, any massive plan. And you could see it with Tyrone, and you could see it with the top teams. You know, we know about Began's ability to kick two-pointers and that, but just on the kickout itself, Dirk's amount of work that's going behind the scenes to get that primary possession, you know, even when it does go long, it usually is targeted. I mean, you have Began and Patton there, you know, even going out the halfway line, you can still target people. So that side of, first of all, trying to get your own possession and then trying to stop the others, there's some battle going on now, because really, Tyrone hammered Cavan on that yesterday. It was a launch pad for the victory.
Yeah, it was. They did massive issues, and I suppose it was really prevalent in Derry v Donegal, like, where Derry, you know, just they struggled big time on their own kickout, and Donegal capitalised on that. And yeah, that goes back to probably the guy in goals probably isn't a full time keeper or per se, but, you know, when Derry played Donegal in the league and Orrin Lynch was in goals, they got a lot away, and they hurt Donegal. You know, the goal, and Conor Glass's goal came off kick out. Derry scored a lot, and obviously Donegal came back in that game but it'll be interesting to see how much the other, like Donegal, will they decide to push hard on Began, or will Monaghan push hard on Sean? Because, yeah, they're both exceptional at picking out the pockets. I think the breaks too, you know, you can see the signals a lot of the time that the defenders are already reacting. They know it's going long. And when those guys go long, there's massive distance. And, and also you can see that they're getting well set up defensively on their own kick-out. So there is that cautiousness to both teams, but no, I think it'll be an interesting one to see how hard the other teams press each other, you know, and that'll be a key battle. But yeah, they're both exceptional keepers, you know, and I think Sean showed how good he is against Derry, and fingers crossed it's a dry ball, a nice day for it, and it'll even make it even better, you know.
Yeah, well, high praise from one of the best himself. Paul, tell me this, energy, right? You're looking at your Monaghan team energy, right? You look at the Antrim performance yesterday or on Saturday. They took it to Armagh with a bit of energy. Now, of course, you always expect that Armagh on the bench and Oisin Neal come on, that's 3 2-pointers. You know, they were missing a few, etc. Just looked at Cavan yesterday. They didn't seem to have the energy. You know, they didn't get about Tyrone. They didn't unsettle him. You know, and you look at Monaghan's play. Monaghan are definitely going to get about Donegal. And I suppose, is that the big thing we're seeing? You know, I thought, just sent to Johnny Johnson yesterday, you know, he's just saying, listen, we knew from the get-go, they have that terrible record against Tyrone, you know, it's 11, 12 championship games now, going back 40-odd years or whatever. You know, that type of preparation you need to kind of get about a team So Monaghan now have been lying in wait in many ways. They've had their break from the league final. They've watched Donegal play Championship again. You know, they will certainly bring energy, and this will be, the game will be on. There'll be a period in this, Paul, you would feel, where Monaghan will be there to strike. You know, there'll certainly be that part of the game, which I felt with Derry. You never really felt that. You know, they didn't. Again, going back to that thing of kind of the energy and the bit of belief, wasn't with them. A couple of teams I've seen there, particularly with Derry and Cavan, but it was certainly with your lads.
Yeah, no. At the very least, that's what I'd be expecting from this Monaghan side. And you've mentioned Cavan, and I've seen a good part of the match yesterday, and that was disappointing. Like, you know, you're looking for intensity when it comes to Championship. You're looking for the levels of intensity to be increased, you know, from the league. And you know, for all intents and purposes, it's not it is a criticism, and I'm sure Cavan are looking at the performance, and they'll have to look at it deep. About where was that real energy? Now, maybe they had some injury concerns and some key players missing, you know, that just maybe, you know, it hurt the camp or whatever. But, you know, just Tyrone were in total control from early days in the game. And, you know, Monaghan will be through doing all the power to try and avoid Donegal getting into their stride from the get-go. And that's what you need. Like, coming from league, you've had a few weeks to you know, they've grabbed a couple of good nights out after the league win, as you always have to. You get a trophy, lads, you have to celebrate it, get a few beers on, and then get back in training, and everybody comes back bouncing and mad for the road. So at the very least, I'd be expecting Monaghan to come with serious gusto, like at a home Championship match in Clonus. Like, there should be a good crowd behind them if the weather holds up at all. And yes, you would be expecting to come with serious energy. There's great pace in the Monaghan side at the moment, and I can see them getting in around Donegal. I think that middle sector is going to be critical. If it's not been won primary possession, you know, off the kick out, you know, that second ball, who is going to be hungry for it and, you know, launch the attacks, you know, from there. And whoever can win that battle, you know, could go a long way, because they both have prolific scoring threats. And, you know, that will decide where the game, who's going to get a foothold. We know that teams can get a run and maybe go 6, 7, 8 points up, but they're not over the line. The new rules are dictating that 2-pointers can get a team back into the game really quickly. Goals can happen because the game's a wee bit more open. So there's so much on the line. There was a lot made, you know, around, you know, maybe that Monaghan having a good record against Donegal. But look, for us, the less that's said about that, the better. From our point of view, you want to be keeping that under the radar, and you want to be, you know, but for me, Jim McGuinness is a long time around coaching now. He'll have his lads well primed to deal with any of that chat. And I don't expect it to come into the fray at all this weekend. I expect both teams to go at it. And it'll take a hell of a performance on Monaghan, I think, to topple this Donegal side, the stride that they're in at the moment. But, you know, I certainly I'm hoping that they can bring a big performance, and let's see where that gets them.
Yeah, I'm sensing a quietly confident Paul Finlay there. It's coming through him now. I can feel it coming off him. Dirks, what do you think? You know, just on the begging thing there, he obviously had 7 points the last day. You know, that's a massive part of anybody's scoring, you know, 7 points. 3 2-pointers. Knowing Jim as you do, Dirks, what would be the plan now for him coming out the pitch? Should it be that Donegal should release somebody from the arc and go to him? Because I'm looking at, look at McVitie's kicks yesterday. I'm thinking to myself, he almost dragged Cavan back into this. Why doesn't the Tyrone man in the zonal go to McVitie and just stay on him like a cornerback would in a corner forward and say, listen, if only the rest just want to kick 2-pointers, then go ahead, but I'm not going to let you. If Began's coming up the pitch, should Donegal release somebody on them, Dirks? What do you think's happening at training? Would Jim have like two teams playing and the keeper coming up just to get Donegal ready for that situation? And do you think Donegal should commit a player out to go and engage Began?
I think I'd say, well, Jim will obviously be playing game, you know, a game realistic training, as in, you know, scenarios where he does come out. It's going to be interesting to see how much Rory gets up the pitch. If this game brings the pace that I expect it to, you know, it's not going to be an easy thing for him to get up. And yeah, maybe if it's a slow play, he may get up. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of quick transition in the game. So, yeah, I think the big thing since the rules changed with the four back, you know, it's been his free taking and 45s. Where he's really punished teams. So I know he's got a couple from play. you know, but I think that's going to be on real slow plays. Will that happen as much? I don't know, and I don't expect it to, but, you know, he is capable of still getting up the pitch, I've no doubt, and they'll have to deal with that. Do you push someone out? Probably. I don't see Donegal going way out of their defensive shape. There's probably a big part of his game is picking out pockets for passes, which we've seen. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one, but I don't see them changing it too much around there, but they'll definitely have to engage him higher. But discipline is the big one on the freeze. It's going to be a massive, massive task. You know, anytime Donegal or Jim has played Monaghan or Tyrone, you know, with Niall Morgan hitting freeze, it has been a key point, that the discipline around there and not giving them the opportunity to punish you. Mm. So it'll be a good one.
Yes, indeed. Paul, tell me, you know, you looked at yesterday, Cavan did come back into the game. If you're watching Derry, like, so many things seem to be falling in place in Donegal. I know Owen Bannon, Langan's still out, but, you know, Gallon coming on, Jason McGee coming on, you know, McFadden Ferry playing, McBerty playing. You're looking at the Donegal squad now, and we're seeing games where, you know, because there's so much energy going up and down the pitch with players, so much pace in there, and then they've got the backup of the bench. How is the Monaghan bench? I don't know, Jack McCarron came on and got 1-2 in that final, but have yous a bench to really, you know, come at Donegal in the last 20 should it be needed? And is there any injury doubts you've heard of going into this game from the Monaghan starting team?
I haven't, to be honest with you, Grannan, heard of any major injury concerns. You'd always have to expect that there's one or two going into any championship campaign. It'd be wild, you know, there'd be wild little luck involved if you don't have one or two niggles or hamstrings or groins that you're nursing. That is a concern for me, is that Monaghan just don't have the same depth as Donegal have. And just even to inject a little bit of pace and energy into the last quarter, you know, will, you know, Jim be able to spring a couple of, you know, serious guys off the bench, you know, where Monaghan maybe won't have that in their armoury. Look, there's a few different scenarios that can play out. You know, do they go with a Gavin McPhillips and a Micheál McCarville for early doors, you know, that would have played throughout the whole league campaign, try to get a good shift out of them and then try to unearth somebody from the bench, you know, that can put a bit of life into Monaghan and get them moving forward. But it's just, it's hard to see that they have the same quality as Donegal will have. So that's a concern. And just, you know, Papa's mentioned it there, you know, about the opportunities that Donegal provide for Monaghan and Rory Began in particular to come up the pitch and get some of these big long-distance scores that he's become so accustomed to getting. If that's locked down, and if Monaghan are devoid of Rory Began's influence, you know, that creates a problem for Monaghan, for me. And it's an area where, in one aspect, it's a strength for Monaghan, but when it's locked out, you know, it becomes a serious weakness, because who's filling in with those 2-3-4 2-pointers that Rory Began's been kicking? So, you know, Jack McCarron coming in, you know, will he start? I would fancy that he will be held, you know, trying to come into that last 20 minutes, and he can be really, really dangerous coming into a game like that. But all of these things are to be played out, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what the tactics are from a Monaghan perspective. Are they going to go with everybody that's available to them and go on full bore from the very start? I don't think you can do that in today's game. I think you have to hold something in reserve to make sure that you're going to enter that last 20 minutes. But it certainly is a concern. And as I've said a few times now, and right from the outset, since we started talking this evening, lads, maybe that's the squad and the depth that Donegal have built up, you know, could be the deciding factor in this one.
Dirks, do you think that's a big factor? You know, Jim said last year, coming down the stretch against Galway, he needed to push out the squad, and of course he's done that. You know, we have those couple of injuries, but certainly, of course, the return of McBerty or Murphy and the likes of McFadden Ferry coming back in, and even throughout the league playing without Jason McGee, and things seem to be coming well together with Donegal. You know, you're hoping Langan must be close, and Owen Bann as well. You know, that's a formidable squad there, and as you're saying, and without game management, if Donegal do, you know, if Monaghan had a purple patch, there are so many options for Donegal, never mind obviously the talent that will start and the pace that they showed against Derry. Is this in many ways, Paul, I suppose, Dirks, a good game for Donegal in terms of, you know, they get over Derry, who didn't put up the biggest of challenges. Monaghan are coming up from 2, should give Donegal a good game. You have Down or Fermanagh then, and then at the other side we have the big clash of Armagh and Tyrone. So listen, we fancy Monaghan this to be a tight game, and if coming down the stretch, if Donegal's bench could be the difference in this game. Do you think, you see that how it could play out?
Yeah, I suppose it was interesting to see Oisin Farah come on, you know, the last day. Is he fully fit is a big question. You know, Paddy McBurtie done a lot of damage, and what's going to be that starting full forward line with Murphy? You know, you probably kind of the three of them in there. So it's going to be what the starting team is going to be, I suppose, the big decision is, do you have Murph off the bench for as an impact, or like Farah, hopefully he's fit. So I see a massive, you know, decision there for Jim in relation to who he's going to play. But yeah, like if Bann and Lang can come back, you know, that midfield gets stronger straight away. Obviously Bann brings serious pace into it, you know, but the other side of it is the guys that are there are pretty quick anyway, and you know, I don't think they're lacking in pace. So I'd say them boys are going to have to fight after the last day to get their places back, a lot of them. So I'd say training is fairly intense, and you know, there's a lot of battles. But yeah, the bench is going to be massive, and I think we've seen that in the games at the weekend and the week before. Players coming off the bench, the damage they're doing, you know, being able to kick the two pointers, you know, fresh legs, massive. So no, I think Donegal are in a good place if they get them guys back, but you know, they're not back yet. So my main Monaghan, probably, you know, outside of Division 1, obviously they were the most impressive. And as I said at the start as well, the pace and the power and the intensity around the middle has really jumped out. So of Monaghan teams back a few years ago, you know.
Yeah, indeed, Dirks. Listen, I'll not ask you for predictions, lads, because we know where we got to go. We got to go where the heart says on this one. I could just imagine you, Finlay, in those two-pointers, lad. You would be a dangerous man around Clonus on a nice dry day there. You'd be putting them over for fun. So thankfully you're not about as well. That'd be another thing we'd have to contend with. But lads, for now, listen, thanks so much for that wrap-up. I'll be speaking to you as the season goes on. Paul Durkin there and Paul Finlay. Broach, appreciate it.
Thanks, Brennan. Thanks, lads.
See you in Clonus. That was great there, talking to the lads. After the break, I'm going to speak with hurling boss Mickey McCann. Welcome back, everyone. Now I'm delighted to say I'm joined by hurling boss Mickey McCann. Mickey, how are you? Are you coming through there, Mickey?
Come in there, Brent.
Oh, yeah, getting you now. Hey.
Yeah, all good, Brent.
You're down in the castle in Burt?
I am on Burt Castle here. lovely view tonight.
Burt Castle's right. Listen, I tried to climb it a few times, Mickey. I'm lucky I'm still here, hey, but Mickey, tell me this. Hey, from the weekend there, Mickey, listen, Christy Ring up in this competition. Mickey, and listen, I don't want to be any way patronising. You're a winner. This team is winners, you know. This was a difficult assignment, particularly after what I'd seen in Derry and at our home patch in O'Donnell Park a few weeks back in the league. Now, of course, Mickey, you come out the wrong side of this, but still a very spirited performance from your lads. You still must have been proud of the performance, but listen, it's a defeat nonetheless.
Yeah, look, morale victories is probably run. We think we're past that, but Derry's a very good side. I suppose we were just looking for a reaction from that flat performance in Letterkenny, you know, and no doubt we got that. But looking through the stats and stuff, look, friend, the game was there for us in the first half. We had a few wides and we had a chance, you know, to go on maybe 5 or 6 points up, which would have been hard for Derry to claw back, you know, but unfortunately, the scoreboard hurt us again, really. You know, we just had too many wides at vital times. And performance, very good, Bren. And that's what we were mainly looking for, you know, just getting back to the way we can play and the level we can play at. And I suppose that day in Letterkenny, I think after the Kerry result, we probably thought it was just thinking it was going to happen, you know, and we didn't roll our sleeves up. And before we knew it, you're out of the game. So, we took the learnings from it, and we knew how to keep Derry at bay, you know. And look, good performance. The result didn't go our way, but look, we moves us on into the next match with a wee bit of confidence, you know.
Mickey, that fight you're talking about, you obviously went up the division first time ever to 2. You know, you're in the Christy Ring as well. That fight from Donegal has to come first because you're stepping up the grade. So first thing first is the battle. That's what you're talking about.
No doubt, Bren. You know, we're coming from a county, you know, where the majority of our players from three clubs, you know, you take the likes of Meath and teams like that, the 15 or 16 hurling clubs. So we've been punching fairly high, you know, from the pick we have compared to other teams. And you want to dare the likes of Slot Neil, who are in an All-Ireland semi-final a few months ago and just beaten by a point. So we're on the no illusions. If we take our foot off the gas in terms of work rate and honesty and desire that we bring, you know, we're in trouble because the other teams are that wee bit ahead of us and been at that level of hurling for longer. So that day in Letterkenny, we did take our foot off the gas and we're punished. So we've learned from it. And the main thing we can bring is, you know, we've plenty of good hurlers, Brendan, but if the work rate drops, we can be caught very handy, you know.
Yeah. You had a few goal chances in that first half as well. Mickey, you found Chrissy McNaughton, of course, son of the famous Sambo, who's crossed over the border there. He was a bit of a handful on the day.
He was, Brendan, you know, and he's probably the rustiest hurler we've ever come up against, you know, and just chatting to other managers through the league. He's the main Derry forward, give them all trouble, you know. He's so big and strong and really rusty and clinical. So he actually got a goal. We give a goal away from the throw-in, Brendan. The ball broke our favour from the throw-in and we coughed it up cheaply. And it was down in Christy McNaughton's throat after 15, 17 seconds and ended up in the net. So he's a handful, Brendan, and you'd need a damn good fullback to look after him. But the two lads in the corner for us on Sunday was very good. Steve McBride and Oisin Kelly, their two corner forwards are taken off. And that was two lads that give a serious baller in Letterkenny, with two inside lads along with McNaughton, and we've quietened them down. But firstly, the Derry half forward line started clipping scores. So a lot of fire sticking out, Brendan, in that Derry forward line. But we sort of went after Derry this time. We sat back with Sweeper the last time and he sort of was delivering the supply line to the forwards. But we went after them, Brendan, and the game was there for us. I suppose from the 20th minute to 26th minute, we had five or six wides and we were 1-5 to 1-3 up at the time. So you take that, take even half of them, Brendan, and we had a serious goal chance of 3-on-1 and we messed it up and it ended up coming down over our bar. So the chance was there, Brendan. I think we could have went in 5 or 6 up and maybe Derry could have pushed out more, gone after us in the second half and things might have opened up for us, you know.
Yeah. This is just a word on Luke White as well. You know, some great performance right across the board. He pulled off a couple of brilliant saves, hit 1-1 as well, a penalty. Great performance from him.
Yeah, great performance. He's a great striker of all, Luke. And you back him any day in the penalty, you know. He finished it lovely and, you know, it was good. It was a good bounce back from conceding a goal so early, and the next score we got was a goal. So it was a goal apiece after a couple of minutes. So the game settled down then. But Luke was very good for us on Saturday with puck outs, and it said a couple of one-on-one saves where Derry were on us, and he kept it out. So Luke's a big player for us, and when he's on form, it adds a lot to it.
Yeah, and so was the biggest thing for Miss now, Mickey, was really it's what has taken into this Wicklow game, you know, coming up now on Saturday, that you know, right, that was just a blip against Derry. It was a one-off. You've righted that. Obviously, still, as you say, and listen, there was an opportunity in us to be ahead in the first half, which would have taken out the purple patch they had in the second and made it a much, much closer, maybe a victory. So it's about this Wicklow game now, Mickey, and I suppose the confidence you'll take from the Derry performance.
Yes, and Wicklow's no bad side, Brendan. They've all the hurlers out this year, and, you know, they beat us in a Ligue record final a couple of years ago, and they give Derry serious trouble last year. Derry's away from home. We're under no illusion. They've got a good start against Tyrone. They won by 7 points. So they have 2 points on the board where we have none. So we've got to really get a victory in Letterkenny if we have any chance. You know, first and foremost, on this Christy ring, we've got to make sure we stay there, Brendan, and pick up a couple of victories. We do believe we can put it up to anybody and try to push for a final spot. But it's going to be fine margins where you could be pushing for a final or you could be relegated, so we're under no illusions how big this Wicklow game is going to be. And look, we know them well, and I think if we turn up, we did against Derry, you know, we should have enough to get us over the line, hopefully, you know. But it's all on the day, you know, and we just can't have a repeat of that poor performance we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, listen, I would encourage anybody to get down and watch this game. Donegal hurling games are fantastic viewing. The side are playing so well. They've really energised hurling in Donegal. It's on the up and up, which is great to see. And I tell you, nobody will be passing the ball over and back to Ark. I can promise you that. It's bang-bang stuff. It is serious entertainment. Mickey, listen, I'll be down watching. Listen, good luck. Good luck at the weekend, all right?
Thank you, Brendan. Cheers. Happy Saturday.
Top man. That's Mickey McCann there, hurling boss. Say, playing Wicklow this Saturday. Get down and support him if you can. We're going to switch across now to the game yesterday. I caught up with Shawnee Johnson, former Cavan star, after their defeat to Tyrone. I'm here with former Cavan County star Shawnee Johnson. Shawnee, tough day at the office for Cavan here in Healy Park in the Ulster quarterfinal.
Yeah, disappointing day, Brendan. Look, we always knew it was going to be tough. I wanted them to come with something different. I think I said it to you there earlier on. Like, I just felt that it was always going to be a really difficult ask if we didn't address basically what has gone on for the last X number of years. We're at 43 and counting now, Brendan. So, you know, I think in order for Cavan to get over this hoodoo that they seem to have with Tyrone, there needs to be a huge realisation, firstly, that there's an issue there, and secondly, around, you know, painting that picture of what it actually looks like to feel or to feel and to go and beat Tyrone, which is very, very difficult.
Yeah, and I suppose, Shawnee, myself and yourself were talking to Thomas Nubblock there, and you brought up about the mindset, and I was saying that we had a similar mindset back in the day with Armagh, but from the draw in this game, you know, Cavan coming in this game had to upset Tyrone in some way, had to get about them, but it was Tyrone who controlled the game, and I suppose a large part of that was on the back of Cavan's own kick-out, which Tyrone dominated, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, look, and I know there's a lot of football to be played from the time the draw is made to today, but I honestly feel every single training session, every single meeting, every single day, there needs to be stuff written down, there needs to be stuff put up on walls, there needs to be something that a player sees every single morning, you know, because you are not going to change the habit of a lifetime unless you do something completely different. And we will go and look, we're all going to head off now in the next hour and probably watch someone try and do something that he hasn't done before, or he hasn't done in 11 years. And you can, all you would hear McIlroy talking about over the last while, Brendan, is the work he's doing with Bob Rotella. Okay, so what are the Cavs players doing in order to get over it? It's something that has really impacted all their careers over a 10-11 year period. You look at a lot of the players there, Garold McKiernan and Darren McVitie, Killian Clark, Killian Brady, all of Kieran Brady, Jerry Smith, they've all suffered huge heartache at the hands of the red and white jersey. And honestly, I just feel the need to have painted the picture so strongly over the last 6 or 7 months that this is what it's going to look like. This is who we're going to target. This is what we're going to do in the first few minutes. Like, I would have expected Cavan to come with something maybe different. Like, who's to say that something radical happens even before the throw-in, like that, just to say, we're here, we're setting the tone, we're not allowing you to dictate. Like, realistically, you could say there that the game was done after 20, 25 minutes, which is extremely disappointing from a Cavan perspective.
Yeah, and just on that, you know, big lead at half-time, the same as last year, but of course you conjured up them couple of goals last year and brought yourself back in it. This time it was 2-pointers, no more than three brilliant ones from McVitie and a brilliant one from Kiernan as well. Did you think at that time, you know, with a bit of Cavan blood, did it start racing that, God, there's a wee opportunity here, we could get back into it?
It did, and then Martin McNally, but he gave Tyrone what I thought was a harsh free, and then Cavan had a good chance with Sean McAvoy to tail wide, and then they had that goal chance. But like, Tyrone were a bit rocking at that stage. Like, Morgan had hooked a couple of kickouts that you had mentioned earlier on, and like, I completely agree with what you said earlier. The game is now hinging on, really, like everyone says kickouts, but it's actually hinging a lot on opposition kickouts. And can you get enough go-forward ball off the Tyrone kickout, which Cavan didn't do? Did Tyrone get enough go-forward ball off the Cavan kickout? Absolutely, in the first half, and they made hay from that. And I think from a defensive point of view, against these top teams, you really have to get loads of joy on their kickout, because it takes away their structure defensively. You see Tyrone, when they were able to get set on slow attacks, it made it very difficult for Cavan to break down, and they got in around in twos and threes and fours and stripped Cavan a lot, where in the second half Cavan were able to win one or two of Morgan's kickouts, and they had that go forward ball, and you see a lot of the white jerseys running backwards, and you see the numbers on the back, and that's never a good sign defensively.
Yeah, and just lastly, Shawnee, and for us Donegal folk listening, and there'll be many Tyrone and Derry people etc out there as well, at the minute in Ulster, you know, people are talking about certainly it was Donegal and Armagh. A lot of the conversation was, I don't know why Tyrone weren't mentioned, they will be mentioned after today in terms of the big maybe three teams that are maybe slightly ahead. You know, you look at Monaghan, then I think Monaghan and Derry just coming in after. I think most people would put it that way. What's your feeling now on where the Angle Celts going to end up?
Yeah, I have to be very careful now. My wife is from Buncrana, so this will be heard in our house. Look, I have backed from the very beginning, I'm saying not today because it's you, that Donegal would win the All-Ireland. I know, like, how much emphasis does Jim McGuinness put on the Ulster Championship? Absolutely everything. How much emphasis does Kieran McGeaney put on it? Not as much as Jim McGuinness. So that's why I think in Ulster, Donegal are still going to be at the forefront. But I really would not write off this Tyrone team. I look at them last year when they weren't at their best, Stevie, and they still pushed that Donegal team to the limit in the semi-final. And honestly, it looked at a stage with 5 or 6 minutes to go that they would get over the line. And I just think with Malik O'Rourke, and I've worked with him before, he'll bring a calmness, but he'll also bring a huge hunger and a desire, and it's nearly going to be like a new look Tyrone team, and they'll take beating. I would actually, right now, I think they'll beat Armagh in a semi-final, and we could be looking at another Tyrone Donegal final.
Yeah, you heard it here, Shawnee Johnson, top man.
Thanks very much.
Tyrone Donegal final. Oh, that'll be new music to the ear of my next guest, Paddy Hunter. Paddy, how are you?
Not bad, Brandon. Keeping all right.
Thanks so much for joining us, Paddy. Listen, Shawnee Johnson there, of course, he's married to a Donegal woman. Lucky guy. Listen, the kids may as well wear Donegal jerseys now. That would be the done thing.
But probably so. But what did I tell you? You may be speaking a wee bit too fast there, hey, in fairness. Tyrone and Donegal final might be a wee bit hopeful at this stage. But I have to say, Brandon, and good to chat to you here, and you're doing really well there in Highland. Great to hear that. For a young fella that used to kick a bit of ball for Roma time.
Oh, yes, boy. Ago, that, we could go off topic with that one.
You're doing right. Like, but no, on a serious note, I think Tyrone are going the right way, but maybe it's too early to think of Ulster finals yet, though.
Definitely. Paddy, listen, what did you make of it yesterday? And I can't believe this conversation about Armagh and Donegal. For me, looking at Tyrone's squad yesterday, you know, it's got everything about them. And as Shawnee was just saying there, they've got Malachy O'Rourke. You know, Malachy's going to get the best out of this squad. The Tyrone team is a talented team. They've got a conveyor belt of talent. They just need the right stewardship. And with himself and likes of Ryan Porter in there, you know, they're going to be a formidable outfit. And we've seen, I suppose, patches of it yesterday without any real challenge from Kevin.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the first half just showed what they can do. 10 points up at half time, very dominant. The kicker was good. Everything was working well for them as well. Maybe they took their foot of the gas in the second half, but there's a, you know, you look across the line there and you see the likes of Harry Campsey not togged out, Conor Miller not togged out, Derek Canavan missing yesterday, of course, as well. One or two others not there. So Mark Bradley, another one, just come back from injury, and they didn't feature. So you think to yourself, well, there's a lot of quality there. One aspect that would worry me, Brian, is the fact they're not taking two pointers. Mm. You've seen how important it was for Antrim against Armagh the other day. Darren McCurry scored 7 points yesterday. Not one player scored a two pointer. From a Tyrone point of view, Calvin batched on 4 or 5, you know, in the second half. That's worrying. And I don't know what that is as a mindset.
Paddy,
I don't know what it
Paddy,
is.
Would it not be, like, you look at Donegal's not hitting two pointers, and you look, Tyrone really cut through the Cavan man for man marking, which means they don't end up in a two pointer zone, they end up inside arc, whereas Tyrone's zonal defence means that Cavan end up shooting from outside it. So, you know, Kerry didn't kick hardly any two pointers to kick the raft of goals, neither did Donegal. Is it not a thing where if you can break that line, which Tyrone were at ease, you're going to end up in a position where you don't need to kick them as such, but there's nothing stopping them happening. It's just, I think that'll come against Armagh.
If you don't need them, that's all the better. But if you do need them, where are they going to come from? And that's worrying. You know, they scored 14 two-pointers in the National League this year from the 7 games. Like Michael McCarron come forward, I think he got 3 of them. You know, so there's a bit of a worry there who's going to get them. And that would be just the one downside. But there's more positives than negatives from a Tyrone point of view. There has to be, Brandon. And Tyrone supporters, I talked to Kieran McGeary after yesterday, and his concern, or I think it's a lot of people's concern, there's not enough Tyrone support getting behind them and believing maybe this is something that Malachy and Ryan, Leo, Chris, Colin McCullough, are all building there. Because you mentioned that obviously Ryan and Malachy, but then there's them guys behind the scenes as well, big John Devine, the goalkeeping coach, Colin McCullough, Chris Lawn, and Leo
good
McGrady.
Man.
There's a good backroom team there, and it is about leadership.
Now, Paddy, tell me this then, what is happening in Tyrone? Because listen, I'm in Tyrone all the time in my job. Football mad. Mm. You know, every place I go, we chat football. So how is that not coming down into championship game in Healy Park? You know, the Stars of Tyrone are out playing. What's happening? If that was a league game, you know, against the Dubs or against... I mean, what kind of crowd was there, atmosphere against the Dubs? I obviously wasn't there that day. Like, you just...
Around 6,000, 7,000 yeah. as well. It was similar, you know.
Yeah,
it was similar.
And it's, so...
Cavan last year, it was 9,000 at the Tyrone Cavan game in Breffni last year.
That's right. So are we asking too much of people throughout that league in the quick turnaround? Is that something to do with, Pat, in terms of Tyrone are expected to win... So the championship is more or less starting for Tyrone now. Next day out, is that the feeling?
Don't know. Hey, you know, Bryn, the crack, like, obviously the Tyrone championship is the best championship in the country. There's no doubt about that. There's some quality on show there from junior, senior and intermediate.
Mm.
There's a great buzz whenever the Tyrone championship's going. And over the past maybe few, when you look back to, say, 2003, 05, 08, 21, even 18, the year they lost to Dublin, you know, there was a bit of a momentum going. There was a bit more of a buzz. People were buzzing to get to see Tyrone. And I know from my own point of view, while I was working, my whole family went to see a Tyrone match as well. You know, it didn't matter where it was. You went to the Tyrone match, whether it be National League or, indeed, if it be the Championship, you were at the games. And maybe it's not the same now. I don't know. Maybe the mentality has changed. But there's regulars there. Just as there's people there who go, the likes of... Jared and the daughter Sinead, they're never far away. A wee woman there from Fintan there, she's 80 odd years of age. She never misses a game. You know, there's people who go all the time. They're hardcore. Yeah. And maybe it's maybe time for those sort of naysayers who are sitting back and maybe hoping for the championship to kickstart maybe the next day against Armagh to get out and support them. And I know that's a feeling from a lot of people, just to go back out and support the team again. Because there's a good product there, Brandon. And you know, this new format, the new rules, I think they're great. And, you know, it's a different game.
Mm. And listen, still a lot of positive yesterday. You know, see Morgan, the Mercurial Morgan, you know, anything's possible with a man.
Brilliant man, isn't he? You know, he's not afraid to come out. He's not afraid to take a high ball either. You know, he's a lot of confidence, isn't he?
He's not lacking in that, are you? Just the rock at the back, you know, Teig and Brennan, solid, the big midfield men, of course, and McGeary's flying, and so is McKiernan. And then, listen, I give McCurry man the match. I just thought he was that wee difference. Like, McGeary was up there. Big Donny had a good game, solid as well. But I thought that point where Cavanagh had five or maybe six, Paddy, and the McCurry's point in the corner, that was kind of stemmed the tide a wee bit. That was just, and he, of course, was involved in the Kilpatrick goal as well. Mm-hmm. No, he's back in form. And of course, Paddy, those injuries you mentioned, Darragh Canavan, Myler, you know, I seen Mark Bradley doing a session before the game, so he's very close. Matty Donnelly came on. So, you know, you put those guys back into that squad as well. Like, that's a serious team.
There's a serious squad there, aye. Like, so Joe Goose coming on as a sub as well, you know, and big Ben McDonald's back there too. And it is great to see Peter Teig there after, you know, being away for so long. It's great to see him back and all them lads coming back into the squad. You can feel there's an energy about the squad. The relegation wasn't a big issue. No. You know, I really don't think it was a case for Malachy to try and try things and jig things around or whatever. I think it was somewhere in the region of 29 players maybe used during the campaign or during the league campaign. He tried players out, he moved things around. And as you, myself and yourself were obviously that night, down that night in Donegal for Tyrone and Donegal in under-20s, while they didn't play well that night, you know there's boys there who can perform as well. So there's a good nucleus coming through. The minors won the minor league there a couple of weeks ago. They start against Fermanagh this week. There's a lot of positives. A lot of young lads coming through and a lot of more positive stuff to be talking about, you know, and at her own point of view, which is good news, really.
Yeah.
Because it has been stale for a couple of years now at senior level and just became stale a wee bit, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Paddy, down the last couple of minutes here, the rivalry with Armagh, you know, we talk about the Donegal-Tyrone one. Is the rivalry with Armagh, is that still carrying to the biggest in terms of...
You see,
you don't want to lose to them. They're all Ireland champions. Is this kind of like a mark point already that in the Tyrone evolution under O'Rourke that this would be a massive victory?
Massive, massive game. You go back to, I suppose, it all depends where you live in Tyrone. If you live in the north part of Tyrone, Derry's your arch enemy, right? South Derry men and all that there, you know, up around Cookstown, you know, Ballinderry on up around that way. And now if you live in the southern part of Tyrone, Armagh, you're not your enemy, you know. And that was one time everybody hit it to their own, so it didn't make much difference. But no, you're spot on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a massive game.
So who do you not like then? Do you want to tell us now?
I like everybody.
You're too media savvy. And listen, you loved all us Donegal boys because we used to come in for Oma Town back in the day and play a bit of ball for you, big Roy McCready.
Absolutely. Them were the days, weren't they?
Hey, they were good times, and Paddy.
Absolutely, Brandon. Great times all together. You must sit to yourself. Excuse me.
But you keep a wee eye on things there, Paddy. But listen, I've four young bucks there to keep me busy, as the man says, and I'll get back to them this evening. They help out where they can.
Oh, well, that's it. There's a new Oma Town starting up here now, so maybe it'll come back.
You never know, Paddy. Me and you'll take them over, joint managers. I'll bring the philosophy. You can bring the tactical nous. How's that, my man?
Paddy, listen. Back to our math thing, Brandon.
Paddy, we're just about to run out of time, Paddy. Do you know what? Me and you'll get a chat again, all right?
Absolutely, down the road. Thanks very much.
Because, listen, you're a great man to talk to, and we'll probably do a wee commentary. We'll keep an eye on the under-20s as well as time goes on, all right, sir?
Absolutely, the 20s and the minors coming out. Good man.
First class, Paddy Hunter there, top GA correspondent, top commentator as well there with Ulster TV and radio. Paddy, thanks a million. Folks, that's the DL Debate. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The lads are raring to go, a packed show as ever. I'll speak to you all next week. Joe Dex, thanks for producing.